Hey friends, welcome back to Out of Focus. I'm Shannon, and this is where we get real about faith, struggles, and the God who meets us right in the middle of it all. Today's episode is a vulnerable one, but my prayer is that it helps you guard your heart and see that no story is too far gone for God. I get asked this question a lot. Was it quick? Did it happen suddenly? My answer is always the same. No, it was a drift. A slow, almost invisible drift, one that started long before I ever crossed a line. Before I share the details, I want to be crystal clear. I take full responsibility for my choices. Nothing my spouse did or didn't do caused me to sin. These were my choices. These were my decisions. I'm sharing this not as an excuse, but as a warning. Because unaddressed cracks in a marriage can lead to a drift you never thought was possible. And the enemy loves nothing more than a slow fade that goes unnoticed until it's too late. If telling my story helps even one person guard their heart and protect their marriage, it's worth it. As I shared in episode one, we lived with his parents for the first 5 years of our marriage. They were kind, sweet people, generous people. This wasn't about them personally, and yes, they were good moments in those years, but deep down, I longed for space, a place where my husband and I could build our own life together. Instead, it felt like we were guests in someone else's home. I smiled on the outside. You couldn't tell by looking at me most of the time, I guess, but inside, I was breaking. I was unraveling. Some nights, I would lock myself in the bedroom and cry until I couldn't cry anymore. I would pour my heart into my journal because that's the only place I felt safe enough to be completely honest. I know I was not perfect either. I could be harsh with my words, but I often felt unseen, unheard, like my emotions were too much for anyone else to carry. And I did speak up. I shared my feelings more than once, hoping for change. But the cracks stayed. And over time, I stopped bringing it up. As a Christian, I thought, you're not supposed to be having marriage problems. You have Jesus. You should be fine. So I stayed silent. One day, my parents suggested I come home for a while to see if anything would change. I almost did. I remember sitting in the driveway with my car running, but I could not make myself leave. I thought that by leaving and walking away for a moment, even temporarily, would be a sin. So I pressed on. But every time I saw our unopened wedding gifts stacked in his brother's closet, it was a reminder that the home I longed for still wasn't ours. After 5 years, I finally said, I cannot do this anymore. I'm leaving. I have to get out. I knew something was about to happen. I said, you can come with me. But I'm leaving. And that's when I had my first panic attack. Physically, my body was like sounding the alarm. And spiritually, I was already weary, tired, exhausted, running dry, and vulnerable. We moved to Nashville, but the financial pressure hit pretty hard. I was still modeling, forcing myself to go to castings and jobs while battling ongoing anxiety. He was trading stocks, but not bringing in a steady income. So I began to resent him. I thought, how could you let me stay there that long? And how could you not see that my breaking point was coming? He eventually got a job and I was relieved. Not because it paid a lot, but because I felt like it was progress. But here's the truth. We still never dealt with the deeper issues. And that's the thing. We had times when we laughed, we traveled, and we enjoyed life together. But the roots we needed to dig up stayed in the ground, and they were quietly growing deeper and deeper. His parents didn't know about my panic attack or the toll those years had taken on me. So when they wanted to come and visit and stay with us, it sent me spiraling. It had nothing to do with them. It was about the memories that just came rushing back. I didn't realize it then, but I had developed a kind of emotional PTSD. Those feelings would trigger reactions in me I did not understand. We kept pressing on, but without realizing it, we were now walking over roots we had never dug up. Then COVID hit, and while the world went quiet, so did our home. I've always been the more talkative one, but the conversation that really mattered to me and what matters in marriage are the deep ones about dreams and struggles and the future. They weren't happening. He tended to keep things inside, and I talked about how I felt, and I often got one-word answers. This was the moment we should have reached out for help, but I still had that belief tucked somewhere deep inside of me that Christians should be able to figure this out. We have Jesus, right? We have Almighty God on our side, so we didn't need counseling. That belief was wrong, and it left me unguarded. Drift isn't just a marriage problem, it's a spiritual one. The enemy works in the space between two people when they're disconnected, busy, or hurt. During that time, I found myself enjoying someone else. He made me laugh. We would talk about lighthearted things, food, football, whatever. And I looked forward to those conversations. At first, it wasn't personal, but it was a spark in an otherwise quiet, disconnected home. I should have recognized the danger, and I should have guarded my heart right then and there. But when you're spiritually dry, emotionally depleted, and longing to be seen, attention can feel like water to a thirsty soul, even if it's poisoned. My thoughts started drifting toward him. I looked forward to running into him and the next time I would be able to see him, and I enjoyed his company more than my husband's. For a while, I never shared anything personal, but in my mind, the battle had already started, and I wasn't taking my thoughts captive and making them obedient to the word of God like the Bible tells me to do. If you recognize even one of these in your life, take action now, because you're already further down the road than you think. Looking forward to being around someone more than your spouse. Thinking about them when you're apart. Enjoying the attention instead of shutting it down. Pulling away emotionally from your spouse. Ignoring the nudges from the Holy Spirit to set boundaries, because the Holy Spirit does speak to us. Sin rarely kicks the door open. It knocks softly until you open it. I wish I had been more honest about my feelings earlier, even when it was uncomfortable. I wish I had sought counseling before resentment grew. I wish I had listened to the Holy Spirit when he nudged me to set boundaries and to run from temptation. If you're married, please hear me. It's not weakness to ask for help. It's humility and it's wisdom. Marriage takes two people, both willing to work, both willing to lay down their lives for each other, just like Christ laid down his life for the church. You have to be all in. That's 100%. And if you don't address the cracks early, they become deep roots. And roots are much harder to uproot. Pray together. Read the Bible together. Go to church. Talk about the things you'd rather avoid. Share what's going on deep inside of you, because your spouse cannot read your mind. They are not God. Surround yourself with people who love you enough to see the red flags you can't, because we all have blind spots. And keep Jesus at the center. Keep him first. Your spouse can't fill the deepest void in you. Only Christ can. I don't share this to excuse what I did, but I do share it to warn you. Because the drift is real. Guard your heart. Crucify your flesh daily. Deny yourself daily, as the Bible tells us to do. Your marriage will never be perfect because you have two imperfect people coming together as one, but it can be fruitful and it can glorify God. The drift doesn't have to end in destruction, but only if you notice it and fight before it carries you away. Your marriage isn't beyond repair, and you're not beyond God's reach. He can heal what feels broken beyond recognition. I know, because he's done it in me. Thank you so much for joining me today on this podcast. Just remember, when life feels out of focus, there's always one who brings clarity. We'll see you next time.